On Midwest Week, the controversial deal to sell a former school in the Quad Cities. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Megan Valley, education reporter for the Quad City Times. Remind us, Megan, where is the Lincoln School that you've been writing about? When did it stop being a school?
So Lincoln Schools closed as a school in 2012, and since then they've had space available to be rented out to a number of community groups. A church was renting at one point. Right now there's a preschool in there.
Okay, but it's been owned by the district since whenever it was built, way back
Correct.
When. Okay. Who is it that wants to buy the school, and what would they like to do with it?
So the sale that the district has approved is to Together Making a Better Community, which is a nonprofit group that's really closely affiliated with Third Missionary Baptist Church. And their plan is to turn it into a community center of some sort. Some ideas have been thrown out, including third shift daycare, some sort of parenting supports. But those are really most of the sort of details that we've been able to get about what the plan is.
Is the church located close to the school, or is it just sort of a convenient property that they might be able to put some programs in?
They're fairly close together. They're not on the same block or anything, mm-hmm. but...
So how much did Together Making a Better Community offer for the school, and how did that compare with the other possible offers?
So the sale that was approved was for $30,000. They had actually previously made an offer for $50,000 that fell through. But there were a number of other offers. There were 14 in total who made sales offers, and there were six of them that were for more than $700,000.
Do we know what the other offers, what those people wanted to do? Was it housing, apartments, or something like that?
It was mostly housing. So there's a couple of groups who have done housing development projects in this area. It was almost entirely apartments.
Okay. So I'm looking at an offer for $30,000, and I'm looking at offers for $700,000, and the Davenport Board chose $30,000. Why is that?
So these offers were made over a couple year-long period, I believe since 2016. And so the only member of the board who's really given me a firm answer and firm reasons is Director Dan Gosa. What he said was that while this building was being owned by the district, even though they were renting it out to pay for the utilities, to keep the lights on, all of that was coming out of the general fund. That's the same fund that the district has to cut more than $13 million out of in 2 years. And so his reasoning was that he just wanted to get it off. He wanted to get the building off of the district's hands so that that money could potentially prevent laying off more teachers. Now, the utilities the district has estimated is between $30,000 and $40,000 a year. So maybe it's one person, but that was the reason that he gave for that. And then when the district put the building up for sale, they also said that they wanted, and this has been since the beginning, they wanted it to be used to help the community in some way. And so I think that the community center really appealed to them because it really fulfills that mission.
Okay, so even though there was more money involved, they were hoping for something besides just housing?
Potentially, yeah.
What has been the board's response to your questions? I mean, that was one member talked to you a little bit. How about the others?
Most of the board members have not, at least they haven't provided details about what the plan is or why they were willing to move forward with it. Several of them haven't returned phone calls. When I talked to Allison Beck, another board director, she wasn't on the board actually when some of these offers were made. So she was there for a much shorter time period. So her knowledge was much more limited than some of the other board members.
Now, so where in the process are we? The board, the community group made an offer. The board has said, we'll accept this offer. Has it gone beyond that, or are there still some steps to go?
So the due diligence period ended in the middle of October, and so that's the period where they can go in, see if there's anything wrong with the building that might make them want to back out of the deal. And so after the due diligence period ended, they have a 30-day window to actually close on the property, which would be about the middle of November. So far, they haven't closed on the property. But they have until then to do it.
Okay. Now, does state law say anything about when this information needs to be made public or if it even needs to be made public at all?
Mm-hmm. So per Iowa code, the minutes and the audio from these meetings will be made available after the property is closed on. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at Iowa code, the way it's written, it says until the sale is completed. So we filed for an advisory, the Quad City Times filed for an advisory opinion with the Iowa Public Information Board to ask if completed meant once they approved the sale or once the sale was closed on. And the board's consensus was that it was after it was closed on. Mm-hmm. So it is information that we made public. whenever it closes. But in the meantime, they're under no obligation to release that.
Okay. And it's interesting that the Bettendorf School Board had a school sale and they handled it slightly differently.
Right. So when Bettendorf sold the property for Thomas Jefferson Elementary, they released the audio after they approved the sale. So there was this gray period between when the sale is approved by the governing body and when the property is actually closed on. And they waited for that first quote-unquote end date to release it. But again, the Iowa Public Information Board and their ruling, they could have waited.
Oh, okay. So Bettendorf was just doing it that way because it wanted to. It didn't
have. Right. Okay. Yeah. I think it's important to note also that the law allows them to wait this long to do it. They don't have to. There's nothing saying that they couldn't release this now. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it is a choice and they can do it, but it is a choice.
Okay. How about the community group? If the deal closes, it would take possession right away. And then what? Do we know what it would do or how quickly or anything like that?
I haven't been able to get in touch with the community group. I don't know what their timeline would be to get some of these programs instituted. I know at least if they were planning on doing this third shift daycare, which is an idea that Dan Gosa threw out, they would have to get accredited to do that. And I'm not sure how long that process would take.
Now, this just happens to be campaign season for school boards in this area and the Davenport School Board. Has this issue come up that you've heard among the candidates?
Right. So at the first forum that was hosted by Channel 6, the first question after opening statements was about whether or not they approved of this sale. And other than the two incumbents, Dan Gosa and Linda Hayes, one of which voted in favor of it, and the other one who works for the church who is affiliated with the nonprofit, she didn't vote, though. Mm-hmm. Everyone said that either they thought it was a bad idea or they didn't have nearly enough information to make a decision about whether they thought it was a good or a bad idea. Mm-hmm. So that's the main context in which it's been explicitly referred to. But there have been, I mean, if you talk to a lot of the board people running for board, they'll talk about how, you know, they're concerned about the finances. They want to be good financial stewards. And it all sort of relates back, I think, not entirely to the sale, but it's part of that.
What do they say about the board's priority for the school to have some sort of community, I don't know, community purpose? Mm-hmm. Are they in favor of that, or they would just say, let's take the highest offer we can?
I think it's a combination, and it's one. I think that the sense that I've gotten from some of the people running for the board is it's not just, oh, we have to take the highest offer. You have to look at the disparity between the offers, you know, $700,000 or more as opposed to $30,000. And maybe that would inform your decision a little bit more. I think you also have to take into account that this is a district where they are cutting from the general fund. The money from the sale is not going to go into that general fund. It'll this building if it were to go back on the tax rolls for housing, for instance.
What about your readers? Have they been weighing in on this? Do you get the idea that they're paying much attention?
This is the story that I get more emails about than anything else.
And what do people say?
I mean, most of the emails, if someone is taking the time to email me about a story, usually they're upset. Mm-hmm. So far, they've mostly been upset with the board and not upset with me. Mm-hmm. But it seems to be either they're upset with a decision to sell it for that much, or they're just really concerned about the lack of information that's been made available about it.
Okay, so maybe some of these people at least will be happy once the sale closes and the information is announced.
Maybe. Right. I think that then that they're hoping that that will maybe explain a little bit more about why this decision was made, and it'll make them feel a little bit more comfortable with it.